Okay, we're talking with Mr. Jim Gentile at Angel Stadium. Here's a baseball day. Jim, let's take you back to your early years. If you could remember the scout who first scouted you and signed you for the, I guess, the Dodgers back then.
Dodgers, Bill Brunson. Yes, I knew Bill very well. See, my high school coach was a bird dog for the Dodgers, and Bill used to come around quite often.
When you signed, was it directly out of high school with the Dodgers?
Yes, I signed a bonus contract and went right into 1952 when I got out of school. And then 53, my first year, I went to Class A football.
How many years did you have to spend in the minors?
Seven.
I know that you were part of that Dodger farm system that had a lot of pretty good ball players, especially at first base at your position. Did you ever get frustrated in things you might not get the shot that you wanted?
Well, absolutely, because after you've been in the minors a few years, you start to be labeled a minor leaguer. And most players out of high school would start in Class C or something. I started in Class A, led the league in home runs and RBIs. Next year, I started in Mobile, which was Double A, but Rocky Nelson came down from the Dodgers, Norm Locker went back to Mobile, I went back to Pueblo, and somebody back in Class C went home. And it was frustrating because you have good years. In 56, I hit 40 home runs in the Texas League and went over to Japan with the Dodgers, led them in all hitting categories, told me to stay home, don't play winter ball. You're going to play first, and Gil's going to play third. Went to spring training, played every day. Last day of spring training, changed their mind. So it was frustrating back then, and because they just didn't change. I mean, pitchers changed, but the infield and everything, they just stayed with. And unless they sold you, you were their property.
You got a chance to play a few games in Brooklyn in 57, and then you came up with the Dodgers when they were in L.A. in 58. How was that experience?
Well, I came up in 57. Second time up, I hit a home run in center field off Robin Roberts. And the thing that was so funny is I broke my bat. So I just knew that this park was a pretty good park to hit him when you could hit it that far. I don't know what it was. I think maybe I just wasn't Walter Alston's type of player, because I came back up in 57, and I first game I played, I went 2-for-4, drove in 3 runs. I didn't play for 4 days. I mean, I only got 36 times at bat in 3 years of coming up and down, so I just felt that he didn't, I wasn't his type of player. The thing I had to worry about is, again, being labeled as a minor league player. The longer you stay in the minors, they started to overlook you then. And I was just lucky enough that the Orioles needed a long ball hitting first baseman, and they took a chance on me.
59, did you spend the whole year back in the minors before you went to the Orioles? Is that what happened?
Yes, in St. Paul. I was supposed to have been sold to the Chicago White Sox, running the Buzzy Vavese. But he says, you stay in spring training and tell Mr. Beck and get control of the club, and you go and meet the club in Chicago. Well, what happened, they couldn't go on who they wanted to trade for me, so I spent the whole year in St. Paul.
Did you feel very relieved when you came up with the Orioles in 1960?
Well, I was. I was playing winter ball in Panama when I found out. Joe Antebelli comes up to me and says, oh, Jim, that's the biggest park going. He says, that's an airport. Mantle doesn't hit him out of there. So at first, I was a little worried. And then when I went to spring training, we had Walt Ropo, Bob Boyd, myself, Johnny Powell, and a young kid at that time, Bill Powell. So the chances were really something.
You ended up having 4 or 5 very good years with the Orioles. Was it, would you attribute that to just getting a chance to play on an everyday basis?
Absolutely. Because then all of a sudden, when I got traded to Houston, I didn't play every day. And then my career just went down the drain because I was just platooning again. And I was used to playing for 5 years every day. But I went over to Houston and he was platooning me again, Mr. Richards, and it just didn't work. I have to, the type of swing I had, I really needed to play every day.
What can you tell me about 61? Had an incredible year. All the home runs, had the great average. I think you led the league in RBIs that year?
No, I was second.
Second.
Maris had a right, by one, he hit that 142 to 141.
What got you in the groove from the beginning of the year?
Well, I don't know. I think I was really in my mind, because in 60 I had a good year, platooning. And I was a little hurt that I didn't get Rookie of the Year, but I understand Ron Hanson had a fine year and he was an all-star shortstop. But I had so many writers say, if you drive in 100 runs, we'll vote for your Rookie of the Year. Well, I drove in 98. I only got up 380 times. So the next year I said, well, this year if I get to play, I'm going to have a good year. And I really concentrated on it, and everything turned out. Plus, I think, again, bringing the two new teams into the league, weakened pitching in a certain factor in it. And I don't kid myself. I wasn't going to hit 46 home runs every year, but I knew I was capable of 25 to 35. So I figure I got an extra 10 or so from the quality of pitching.
What was your greatest thrill in the pros?
Well, one of the greatest thrills, I have to say, is when Mr. Richards said I was going to Baltimore. I kept thinking he was going to cut me because I had a terrible spring, and like I said, there was five of us. But I think my biggest thrill was the two grand slams in Minnesota, and also getting voted to the All-Star team. It was a thrill.
When you were traded from Baltimore to Houston, did you kind of have a feeling that things might turn, your career might turn down, get a downturn, or did you still feel that you had a real good chance to play and it just didn't work out for you?
Well, I thought it was an upturn because playing for Kansas City was a downturn. I mean, Finley had alienated the radio stations and the newspapers, and no one even knew who you were. I mean, I have people say, well, did you quit after you finished with Baltimore? Because Kansas City, at that time, no one knew about him. So going to Houston, I thought, was a real good break, and being with Lumen Harris and Paul Richards. But it just turned out that, again, as you got older back then, they started to look, you know, the older player as a platoon player, so the younger fella could play. And they were playing Chuck Harrison, and I was platooning with him. So, I had to understand that. But I thought I still had a few more good years.
The teams you played on in Baltimore ended up for a team at that time that was not very far removed from expansion. It had some real good years. You guys finished second a couple times in all. We're in a pretty close...
We were one or two players away. We had a good ball club, but we were just one or two players away to really make a move. And as you see, when I left there in 64, and they picked up Frank Robinson, and he was the key. I mean, he was a franchise player that could lead them on. And by then, everybody had experience, and they just went on and had a great year.
What was your favorite ballpark to hit in?
Detroit. Really liked Detroit. I don't know why, but I know the fences are short, but it was just so confining. You just felt good when you got in that ballpark. Just felt like you could hit.
Was there any pitcher that you remember that you kind of owned, that you really felt great going against?
Not really. I didn't mind facing any right-hander. Left-handers weren't my favorite, but I didn't mind them. Getting the pitchers, I guess you'd have to say that the toughest one was Whitey Ford for me. We used to joke about it. Whitey used to always kid me, and so did Mickey, because I think I was about 0 for 12 or something. I didn't face him that much because we were platooning. But finally, near the end there, I got a couple of home runs off him, so I didn't feel so bad.
When you came up to Baltimore, you said it was one of your greatest thrills. How was it dealing with the fans, the media, things of that nature on a full-time basis? Was it a lot different than you had expected?
Oh, definitely. And I found that when you're coming up, trying to make good, you know, they're for you. Now, after the 61 season, and I told them I wanted a 100% raise, they seemed to turn the next year. Everything you did that wasn't right was just magnified. I mean, every time I looked in the paper, it was Gentile left two runners on. Gentile, you know? And you shouldn't read the papers, I know. But still, you start to press on that because, you know, you knew you were the one who was supposed to try and lead them, because I've led the club in home runs and RBIs for those years. And you start pushing, and they seem just to change. Once you made it, now they're looking for the new guy to publicize.
What don't you like about today's game?
Well, you know, I sit home sometimes, I watch the game. I'm very happy for the salaries and all that. I think it's fantastic, because back when we played, they owned us. I mean, take it or leave it, and they had so many quality players in the minors. It's when I see somebody hitting 220, one home run, and 12 RBIs at this stage of the game. Gee, back then, after 30 days, you were doing that. You were in St. Paul. I mean, these guys, I mean, there's no competition. They don't have to worry about the guy behind them. I don't care if you had a good year. The next year you went to spring training, you had to keep your job.
Do you feel that guys are rushed to the pros nowadays?
Absolutely, because we had farm clubs where they could learn to play. Now they take them out of college. And they play 1 year in the minors, and boom, they're up there. And it's just you're up there, and you either do good or bad. And if you do bad, you stay anyway.
What's your favorite pitch to hit? Fastball?
Yeah, but I was a good curveball hitter, because you learn. Just like when I came to the American League, Everybody said throw them high, so I learned to hit the high fastball. Then when I went back to the National League, low ball, I had to learn to hit the low ball again because I was always looking for things up here, up around the strike zone and high. And it's really fun. But I'd say I did like the fastball. You like to sit on the fastball when it got to be 3-1. And because back then there weren't that many that threw the curveball over or changeup or split finger, you know, on a 3-1 pitch.
Did you have a lot of run-ins with the front office? You had the 61, and you tried to get for the higher salary. Was it kind of an acrimonious situation, or were you guys able to work something out?
Well, no, it was hard. I went in there, and after all the records I set and everything, they only wanted to give me, I was only making $15,000, they only wanted to give me a $10,000 raise. When I asked for 100, which was nothing, 30,000, that's peanuts now. And I went in there, and McPhail made me hold out for 10 days. I missed 10 days of spring training because he wouldn't. And finally, he called me back in the office, and I sat there, and he gave me a contract for 29. And I said, "Look, it's just a principle of the thing. I won't see $1,000. I'll see 400 after tax." And he opened his drawer and pulled out the other contract for 30. See, when he didn't have an agent, you know, they have all the statistics. I didn't have any. He's telling me, "Well, you left men on base here. You did this." I said, "What about the 11 records?" I said, "Oh, well, you can't be an individual now, Jim. You got to be a team player." I've never been able to figure that concept out. When you're on the field, you're a team player. But when the season's over, boy, it's not what the team did. It's what you did. So it's a two-way street there.
I agree with you.
But people would say, because I had a temper, and I'd get mad at myself. I would not get mad at anybody else. When the game was over, if I went over 4 and we won, I'd walk in the clubhouse and say, "Nice going, Steve. Nice going, so-and-so." And I might sulk a little bit. Well, I can't help it. That's the way I was. I was mad at myself. But I still played hard on the field. So, but then you get a reputation as being an individualist. Well, I was ahead of my time. Now they're not individualists. I mean, if you didn't run a ground ball out, it was $100. Now, some guys only make it to first base on a ground ball a second. So, I mean, everything's changed.
What would you do if you were a general manager right now to kind of alleviate that situation that you just mentioned? Is there anything that you could do? Do you think now?
Well, your manager's got. I think it might be hard because most of the players are making more than a manager. So if you get some guy that's going to walk up and say, "Okay, it's $100 for not running the ball out," you know what this guy's going to do, this star that's making $2 million a year. But back then, they could, you know, you had to listen to them. And they took it right out of your check, boy, $100. And the manager was boss. He told you, "I want to see you go by first base on a ground out or anything at full speed, not trotting." And I don't know what happened to the game that where they don't say something to players. Well, let's get out there and hustle. I mean, what better way to make a living and make $2.5 million a year? Enjoy this. Look at this. This is great.
Who was the guy that had the most influence on your career once you made it to the big leagues?
Well, there's two, Dus Triantis and Gene Woodland. Woodland helped me with my hitting an awful lot. And Gus just helped me with, he tried to help my personality. And he didn't do very well, but he tried.
You mentioned that sometimes you took the game off the field with you a little bit. Do you think that might have, at times, kept you from maybe reaching heights that you would have, you thought you maybe could have achieved if you had been a little bit less temperamental? Or did you feel that did make a difference?
Oh, it did make a difference. In the long run, it did, because, like I said, I played 5 years, okay. And then other, word gets around. And someone says, "Gentile's hard to handle." So why do I want him on my club? He might drive in 100 runs, but I'd rather have a guy drives an 80 that keeps peace. That's why I got traded. They traded me to Kansas City for Norm Seaburn. Bauer got rid of me because of my temper, and bring in a quieter guy who could do just almost as good, if not, you know. And the club, when we had so many guys with tempers, with Pappas and myself and Barber, so they were trying to calm the team down. But I guess I was the worst, putting my hand through water coolers and stuff like that.
Who was your favorite manager, and why do you feel he was the best manager you had in
well,
the pros?
Okay, in the pros, I have two. Of course, Paul Richards. He gave me my shot, and he really treated me fine. But the other one is Bobby Bregan. I played for Bregan in '58, and he just I was. That was the year where I got optioned out, and I just wanted to quit. I didn't care whether I played or not. I said, "I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get a chance." And he brought me out. He took over the club, and he talked to me, and he got me back in a good mood to where I ended up with a halfway decent season. And the thing is I didn't realize it, like he told me. You know, there's 20 other clubs you make a fool of yourself out there and don't hustle, no one's going to want to buy you. You know, but at the time, you don't think of that. You just figure, I've been in the minors for 7 years, no one's going to even want to want me. So I, the heck with it. All you want, a ball player wants to know, is he a major leaguer? You play 5 years in the minors, you get a shot, give him a halfway decent shot. If he doesn't make it back then, okay, now you go back to AAA and you say, hey, I had my shot. I got 200 times a bat and all I could hit was 180. I got to do something to try to get back up there. But that was my thing. I just wanted a shot because they never took me to Brooklyn. And I only wanted a shot. And finally, Baltimore gave me the shot, and I had such a bad spring training. All I could tell the newspaper people were, wait until the bell rings. That's the only excuse I had. And they finally, he took me, and the bell rang, and everything went perfect.
What was it like for a young guy right out of high school to go to the minors back in the 50s? Give me a little bit of insight to that, if you could.
Well, it was scary. I'd never been away from home. And I end up in Vero Beach, Florida with 400 ball players. It seemed like everybody had a first baseman club. You know, and you just stand there and look. You just, you know, and I didn't know that much about, you know, your coach tells you in high school, but you get down there and they got fundamentals running, and you start to realize, well, I don't know, I'm not as good as I thought I was, because you see guys who are really good, you know, and you just try to keep a low profile and work hard, and things will work out.
Did you feel that the fans and the front office personnel down in the minors were real supportive of players at that point in time? Was it a good situation for you?
Well, most of the time. But then again, when they have these meetings, they sit down and they say, okay, how about Gentile? How about Triantis? All you need is one person to talk against you. You know, just put that bad seed in there at that time, and they'll say, well, let's pass over him then. We'll go to this guy. So it was, you had to try to keep everybody happy, but you couldn't, and it was hard. And my biggest problem was I had so many people always write a stormy Jim and this, that, and the other. I couldn't help it. I showed my emotions, and I couldn't do much about it.
Who are the ball players that you like to watch today that you pay to go out in the park and see if you go out?
Oh, there's so many, man. Geez, Joe Carter, Winfield. Geez, I love this kid, Wally Joyner, first base here. Manly. There's a lot of great ball, you know, good ball players, solid ball players, but it's just the idea there's a lot of mediocre ball players that I don't think are really major league caliber. I just can't see a guy hitting 180 or something like that and being in the big leagues. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Your expansion coming up now for next year. You think you might have a shot of coming back and maybe hitting a few more home runs?
No, I'm not. And listen, I'm old for 5 years in these old-timers games. I haven't got a hit yet. Because I don't do it. I live in Edmond, Oklahoma, you know, and I don't work out as far as baseball or anything. It's fun to come and see the guys and everything, but as far as worrying about hitting home runs, I just want to get through it without getting hurt.
Jim, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Nice talking to you.